ahead and record. Good morning, everybody. A number of things to say before we begin this year. When it comes to making certain announcements, I'm a little bit of a coward. But all right, you have to be courageous. So I just want you to know that the next time in Yetz Hashem that I will say a shir to this group that I love so much is going to be after Pesach. The whole world is going to hear that. I'm going to get that onto the internet. Sorry, I just want to tell you that I'll tell you everything. You know, just I'm in the middle of extremely important work, and I have to finish it. I have a deadline over my head, and I have to get it done. And I've been taking over the last 3 years. I've been taking, you know, they owe me about 5 years of sabbatical, and every year or so I take a month or two. This is going to be so far this year 1 month that I'm taking off the sabbatical. Bagili, I'm teaching for this school for 28 years. You know, I'm not okay. All right. So that's it. So there will be tremendous people. They're bringing in top people to say the shiur in between Purim and Pesach. Don't have no fear. Have no fear. Come gesundheit. That's all. Number two. Just briefly, I want to tell you, I did something last night that I have never done in all the years that I live here. 31 years, 32 years. Don't tell anybody. This is just between us. I went to the movies last night. I'm going to tell you everything. There's a movie that's been playing here, and I believe clearly in the United States as well, because as I was at the movie last night, my wife received an email from a friend in America. The movie that we're talking about is in Hebrew, it's Shomrei Hasaf, by the way, which comes from the Gilat Esther, and today we're going to talk about the Gilat Esther. In English, it's called The Gatekeepers. The movie is an interview with the six living heads of the Shabak, the Shin Bet. They are interviewed about what took place during their years in the Shabak, the work of the Shabak. We're talking about one of the most powerful intelligence agencies in the world, and there was a lot of footage of amazing operations that were done by the Shin Bet. What's a Greek doing in the tabernacles? What do I have to do with this? A few weeks ago, somebody comes and tells me, Reichold, you know, you're in the movie. I said, what? I'm in the movie? And that day I read that there are those who are recommending it for an Oscar. Obviously. So there was one, and then in quick succession, a second person, a third person, people started stopping me in the street. There's the star of the... I'm kidding, you know, I like to exaggerate a little bit. Anyway, after I heard from 5-6 people, and here my wife gets an email last night from members of our community in West Hempstead. I'm out of West Hempstead 32 years, that Rebbetzin, the rabbi, is in the movie. So I decided the time has come that I have to go see the movie. In addition to the fact that I read a lot of there'd been a lot of reviews, good and bad, about it, so I wanted to see it for that reason. But just the whole idea If I could, I would have gone to the mikveh before and gone to the mikveh after, for sure. Anyway, I went last night to see the movie, and sure enough, the moment of glory, the great star of stage and screen is there for, I don't know, 20 seconds, 25 seconds, but it was a powerful 25 seconds. You're laughing at me. Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. All right? Anyway, the clip that they had of me, and they had a good number of clips of demonstrations. You remember the days of the demonstrations? Kikar Tzion. Kikar Tzion. But they only had one segment of a speech, and it was me. And boy, was I good. It depends. If you're a right winger, I was good. If you're not a right winger, you understand I was a chaleria. Anyway, you promised us peace and you gave us war. You promised us life and you gave us death. You promised us tranquility and you gave us terror. That's the sum total of my appearance in the movies, but it was very powerful. They had Netanyahu, but they didn't even show him saying anything. They had just a few sentences from Sharon, Sigourney Pugarish, the real star. You know the real star. Anyway.
You didn't even know about it.
Who?
That they were
going to
put you
on. I have no idea. No, it was a news film clip, and they took it from the archives. It must be in the archives of I must be all over the cutting floors of who knows how many.
Maybe you should get royalties for it.
You have to tell me that. My head is working quicker than yours. Anyway. The important thing is.
What's your opinion of the movie?
Well, that's what I'm getting to right now. What I learned from the movie is that, number one, the people who've run the Shabak are certainly professionals of the highest order. Professionals. They know their business. I don't know if there's anybody else in the world who knows it as well as them. They also are, I would say, overly moral people who are concerned about nobody should be hurt except the ones that they're out after, which can be extremely, extremely difficult. If they had a terrorist that they knew was in a certain building, they were afraid that somebody's there. Oh, boy, I don't know how many times they called off operations, but and I learned that this country exists on Nisim, mm-hmm. because these six guys don't get it.
Yeah.
The sum total of the whole movie was, there is no peace process today for two reasons.
Settlement.
Only two reasons. Settlements is number two. Number one is Yigal Amir. Yigal Amir killed the peace process. I understand. It doesn't occur to them yet. We're talking about we're in the year 2013. It doesn't occur to them yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't learned a word about Islam. They haven't learned the meaning of the word jihad. They don't understand that Islam is out against the whole world. There's nothing we can give them to make peace unless we give them everything. They don't get it. They still believe we'll give them this and we'll give them that. One of them talking about, when we started the whole process, there were only 100,000 living in Yehuda Shomron. And then in 1990 or 1992, there were already 220,000 Jews living in Yehuda Shomron, as though that's the issue. It's not the issue. And despite having people that don't get it, at the head of these agencies, we're doing pretty good. And we're doing pretty good because there's a Rabbeinu Shalom around here. Without him, we would be in of Greise Gehackte Zuras. That's where we would be. But then I want to tell you one other thing that happened after the movie. After the movie, you're standing in the lobby, a few people there, and I'm talking to some fellow with a kippah, and you know, I want to know, did you see me? Did you see me? You remember that guy who said, you promised us peace, hey, you're the guy, hey! He was so thrilled. He didn't ask me for my autograph, but a woman comes over to me and listen to the question that she asks me. Tell me, what did you think of the assassination? What did you think of the assassination? The Rabin assassination. That was a major part of it. So I'm thinking to myself, what in heaven's name does this woman want? What does she want? Well, I could have told her, wasn't as exciting as Kennedy's. Lincoln's was more interesting. What in heaven's name does she want? And I understood pretty quickly what in heaven's name does she want. She expects me to be this right-wing mishuganer. I said, you know, you have such chutzpah and such absolute nerve. I've never been asked as ugly a question as this in my whole life. What do you think? This was a profound tragedy. What do you think about the assassination, you asked me. She started running. Mama, she ran away. And her husband was standing there. And the next part I can't tell you, but he tells me that she's the daughter of some very, very important, great politician who once acted in this country. And you know, he suffered from them. That's why she asked you the question. Who's them? From the religious people, you understand? And he suffered from them, and therefore she asks me this ugly question. This is what, it's 15, 16 years after the assassination. What do you think about the assassination? I'm still upset and angry. It means that we got a problem. We still have a problem in this country. They blamed all of us for the evil act of one mishuganah. And they will continue to blame us for it. Ad
Hayom Hazeh. The Shabbat was not on guard when you got up here, did we?
By the way, that you're saying very good. And who was the one that said over there that Yigal Amir destroyed the peace process? Yaakov Peri, the guy who was the head of the Shabak at the time of the assassination, who happened to be in London at the time and not on the spot over here, who did a terrible job watching the Prime Minister.
And he brought Avishai Raviv to incite Yigal Amir.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go one step further, Gvered. I was waiting for them to show it when they were showing the demonstrations at Kikar Tzion. I was waiting to see it. The picture of Rabin with in an SS uniform. That was not our work. It was the work of the Shabbat. It was Avishai Raviv who did it. And he was an insider. And they'll blame us for that. Until eternity. You know what you're talking about. Yaakov Peri was the one who was in charge. All right, you know, I got this out of my system, but I have a...
Look at the damage that this movie is going
to
cause.
So I'm thinking to myself, how can I put together a team that will put out a movie that will be far, far better and more truthful than this movie? I don't know how to do it, you know? I don't know how to do it. Maybe we have to talk to Rabbi Wein. We have to do so. It's unbelievable. And it's done very professionally, very beautiful. All right. I'm saying a shiur this morning. To our people, of course, I recommend it. You're not going.
You're
not going to be fooled by it. No, you're not going to be fooled by it.
And what the others have to say.
And what theater is it?
Where is it?
The next thing you want is I should tell you exactly how to get there. All right? Okay? And tell you exactly how much it costs. It's 38 shekel. And then my wife got upset with me. Did you ask them if they have a senior citizen? And I didn't. I'll go back and ask my money back. It's at the Cinematheque. You don't even know. I never knew where the Cinematheque was until last night. Yeah, okay. All right. What are you going to do with this when they see it in New York and in Chicago and in Baltimore? All right. Number one. And I have to start cutting out parts of this year. But all right. Number one is the Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Hilchot Chanukah. Halacha Yud Zayin, second parak of the law of Chanukah and Purim, and the first section is Purim. Mutav la'adam laharbot b'matanot le'avyonim, milharbot b'sudato b'shloach manot l'reyav. There are a number of mitzvahs on Purim. There's the mitzvah of giving to the poor. There's the mitzvah of sending mishloach manot to friends, and there's the mitzvah of sudas Purim. The Rambam says of the three mitzvahs, the one that you should really spend most of your money on is giving to the poor. And you don't have to make azat sebastit asuda, you understand? And you don't have to make shalach manas that everybody will ooh and ah about it, you understand? Okay. Because there's always somebody who sends nicer shalach manas. Story it is. She'en sham simcha gedolo mefo'ora elul sameach levanim v'yitomim v'almanot v'gedim. It's so beautiful, the Rambam. There is no greater joy, nothing more glorious than to gladden the hearts of the poor, of the orphans, of the widows, of the gay and the strangers. Because anybody who gladdens the heart of these unfortunate people, domelish shchina, is like the divine presence. Shenema, how is the Rabbeinu Shalom described in a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which happens to be from the Haftorah of Yom Kippur, that God's task in the world is lahachayot ruach shvalim, to give life to the spirit of those who are down, ulahachayot lev nidkayim, and give life into the hearts of those who are broken. This is the last halacha, unbelievable halacha, and that's the topic of the shiur today. Kol sifrei hanevi'im v'chol ha'ketuvim atidin li'batel li'yimot ha'mashiach. All the books of the prophets and the ksuvim and the holy writings atidin in the future in yimot ha'mashiach are going to become batel. Now, for the moment, we're going to say batel sounds like what it sounds like, that they'll disappear. They'll be gone. They won't have any meaning anymore. But wait a minute. Okay. Chutz Migilat Esther. The only one that will remain in the days of Mashiach is Migilat Esther. Vahadehi kayemet kechamisha chumshei Torah. Migilat Esther will continue to be an essential part of the Jewish people. Chamisha Kumsha Torah and Megillat Esther. Unbelievable. The Chahalachot Shel Torah Shebal Peh. And like all the laws of the Torah Shebal Peh, in other words, you're going to have Shas, Davli, Yerushalmi, Chumash, and Megillat Esther. V'afal Peh Shekol Zichron Hatzoros Yibatel. Even though the memory of all the sorrows that we suffered through history will be removed, Shenema, as it says, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, ki nishkechu atzoros harishonos, the early tzoros had been forgotten. The chinistru me'einai, God says, they are concealed from my eyes. A whole new world is going to appear, and in that new world, all the tzoros of the past will be forgotten. Despite that, Yemei HaPurim, now Purim is about Tzora too. Yemei HaPurim is about most probably one of the worst Tzoras ever, or the threat of a Tzora to hang over the entire Jewish people. They were all going to be destroyed, men, women, and children. Despite that, Yemei HaPurim lo yibatlu, the days of Purim will not be removed. Shenema says toward the end of the Megillah, the Yemei HaPurim ha'ela lo yavru mitocha Yehudim v'zichrom lo yasuf mizarom, these days of Purim will never pass from amongst the Jews. V'zichrom, and the memory of Purim, lo yasuf, will not end mizarom, from their children. Wow. Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Tilim, Iyov, Mishle. It seems gone. Only Megillah Esther. So first thing that we have to do is we have to modify and explain the word Batel. So I'm going to give you one example. And this is already an example that's bringing us into Pesach. In the Haggadah, we say that there was a machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. They say that you mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, and by day and by night. The Chacham say, no, kol, it says, you should remember, kol yimei chayecha, yimei chayecha hayomim, kol yimei chayecha halelos. The Chacham say both, and Reb Elazar ben Azariah says, no, that you mention it liyimot HaMashiach, that Yitziat Mitzrayim will be mentioned even in the days of Mashiach. So the Gemara says, well, what did he say over there? Let's see. Lo zachisi shetei ome yitetha. I'm getting it straight. In the Haggadah we say, it's the last Mishnah in the first chapter of Masechet Brachot. Omer Rav Elazar ben Azariah, lo zachiti shetayome yitziat Mitzrayim balelot ad shedorsho ben Zoma. I was not zeichet that the Chachamim should, to prove that you're supposed to say yitziat, the exodus from Egypt at night, until ben Zoma said, kol yemei chayecha, yemei chayecha, the days of your life are the days, kol yemei chayecha are the night. The Chachamim say, Yemei Chayecha, Olam Hazeh, this world, call Yemei Chayecha, all the day, Yemot HaMashiach. So the Chachamim say that in the days of Mashiach, you're going to mention the whole story of the Exodus from Egypt. So now the Gemara continues, this you don't have in the Haggadah. Tanya, number two. Omalhem ben Zoma, the Chachamim ben Zoma said to the Chachamim, V'chimaskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim l'imot HaMashiach. What do you say? We're going to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in the days of Mashiach? Not so. V'halo kvar nema. But there is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu where Yirmiyahu says, Hinei yomim b'im nom Hashem. God says, days are coming. V'lo yom ro'o, they will no longer say, Chai Hashem, long live God, or Asher he'elet b'nei yisko mi'eretz Mitzrayim. They're not going to say anymore, ah, praise to God who took the Jewish people out of Egypt. You know what they're going to say in Yemot HaMashiach? They're going to say, Ki imchai Hashem vei, praise be God, asher hela v'asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael, we will thank the God who brought up the seed of the house of Israel from the lands of the north, mikol me'eretz tzafon, of the lands of the north, umikol ha'aretzot, and from all of the lands asher hidachtim misham, where he had sent them out into exile. So Yirmiyahu says, and by the way, this pasuk appears twice in Yirmiyahu. Here they quote it from chapter 23. It's also in chapter 16. Same pasuk. We're not going to say praise God for Yetziat Mitzrayim. Yetziat Mitzrayim is going to be ancient, antiquated, because there are going to be greater miracles. And the greater miracles are that God has brought Jews from all over the world back to Eretz Yisrael. Amru lo, so the rabbi said to Ben Zoma, Yirmiyahu doesn't mean that Yitziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is not going to be mentioned at all. What it means is that Yitziat Mitzrayim is going to be secondary to the far greater miracle of God bringing Jews back from all over the world. Lo shetayorke Yitziat Mitzrayim imekoma, not that Yitziat Mitzrayim is going to be uprooted from its place. Elo shetehe shibud malchios, being rescued from being under the heel of the nations of the world for 2,000 years is going to be the ikar. That's going to be the main thing we thank God for. V'yitziat Mitzrayim, tofelo. But Yitziat Mitzrayim is going to be secondary. Ah, okay. By the way, just want to tell you, over the last few years, I told my family we should say this Gemara at the Seder night, because we are certainly living in an era where we can say without any difficulty, Chai Hashem, Asher Hela, V'Asher Hevi, praise be God who has brought up and brought here to Eretz Yisrael Jews from all over the world. We're never able to say that in all of history. We can say it now, and I hope you have to say it at the Seder. So what you know what we learn from here? We learn from here the following: that when the term batel is used, batel doesn't mean it's completely removed. Batel means, for example, there's a halacha that if falls into a majority of kosher, it's batel berov. The majority. Now, it doesn't mean that what fell in doesn't exist. It's there, except that it's considered secondary. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. And that's exactly what we're going to be saying with regard to the Rambam that says that Megillat Esther, that's going to remain, the others will not. It doesn't mean that we're going to get rid of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu are going to be secondary. Primary will be Megillat Esther. Do you understand? Megillat Esther is going to be primary in the days of Mashiach. The rest of the Shir is going to be simply to get to the source of it all. What is it about Megillat Esther that makes it
number one?
Rise far higher than all of the Sifrei Hanavim. Nearly the only Sefer of all that doesn't even have the name of God mentioned in it. Total absence of the name of God in Megillat Esther. And this is the Megillah that's going to remain primary. Chamisha Chumshei Torah, you're going to have Torah, and you're going to have Megillat Esther. So, let's go. Can't hear. What'd she say? Tell me what she said.
The
Nevi'im. Yeah. So now we're saying that the Nevi'im will, of course, continue to exist. We're going to learn Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, as many of the first say. You know, there are great moral lessons to be learned from the Nevi'im, ethical ideas, a greater understanding of God. I mean, without the Nevi'im, unbelievable. What would happen? Be terrible. But Megillat Esther is going to be at the top of the heap. That's going to be the most significant sefer of all. Now we have to figure out what is it about Megillat Esther? Isn't that fascinating? So here, let's go to number three. Number three is a piece taken from a sefer called Manot HaLevi that was written by Rab Shlomo Alkovitz. Rab Shlomo Alkovitz is known to us for one reason, because he wrote L'cha Dodi. And the first stanzas.
He wrote L'cha Dodi.
You know what? You're right. He wrote L'cha Dodi. Listen, I still had about 48 years, 47 years of chutzlaretz before I came on Aliyah. You know, you can't. I'd have to fast 40 days and 40 nights in order to get the chutzlaretz out of me. You can take a Jew out of chutzlaretz, but it's difficult to take the chutzlaretz out of the Jew. All right, okay. So Rab Shlomo Alkovitz, who wrote the Lechod Dodi, okay, writes the following in his Sefer on the Gilat Esther, in the dark print, Rishona Omar. First thing I want to tell you, She'en Tevat Batel Kimashma Uta Eitzel HaHamon. The word batel is not the way it's understood by the masses of people, which is Shehu HaHeder HaGomor, that it's completely gone, out, we got rid of it. Avol be'erech el hayot chashuv mimenu. What the word batel means, that in comparison to that which is more significant, the less significant one is called batel. Amarnu alav, we say about the less, one of lesser significance, ki'ilu eino, as though he just doesn't exist. Ukumo shamru, as they said, chad betrei batel, one thing that falls into two becomes bottle. Oh, bottle b'shishim, something becomes bottle in 60, but it's there. It didn't disappear, it's there. Oh, b'mei ava'achas, there are certain things that you need 101. Ki me'yosa isa shomu, the isa, that which is prohibited, that fell in, is there. Acha sheherachno tomarov, amarnu ki ilu'enu, but when we compare it with the rest, it's as though it doesn't exist. When we said Neda Amram, and that's what we know, now we know what they said, Kol HaMoadim B'Telim. By the way, the Rambam did not say the Yom Tov Mabotel. The Rambam said Sifrei Nevi'im U'Ketuvim, the books of Nevi'im and Ketuvim Mabotel. But if we get to it, I'll show you that there is another Medrash that says Kol HaMoadim B'Telim, all the Yom Tovim, which would leave the impression, what, no Pesach, no Shavuos, no Sukkot. You can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because every day we pledge allegiance, we say the Ani Mamin, we sing Yigdal. That Torah is eternal. There's no such thing as a moment in history when there won't be a Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, or Shabbos. So therefore we have to say that what it means is it will be of secondary importance. She'ina kavana. Oh, so he says, now we know that when the rabbi said all the moa, the mabatelim, she'ina kavana doesn't mean that we're going to eat chametz on Pesach. Oh, shalom nasa sukkah, we're not going to make a sukkah. Cholila, heaven forfend. Aval she'ischatshu b'chosen ha'yeshuos dvarim nifloim. What we are saying is because of the mighty one who brings salvation to the Jewish people, there are going to be such awesome things that are going to happen. Yimale pinu tihilosam, our mouths will become full of their praise. Im hayot harishonot nishkachot liyika, that which happened before will be forgotten from being the main thing about which we thank him. We're still going to thank him for Yitziat Mitzrayim. Without Yitziat Mitzrayim, we would never have made it through 4,000 years of history. But there are going to be far greater miracles that are going to be of more significance. Hinehi tfeilo l'shibud malchus asher hu mamlachot rabot. He says it's going to be secondary to what we have gone through in the 2,000 years of Golos, where we have been enslaved to many, many peoples. There we were only enslaved to Egypt, but we've been enslaved in so many different countries on the face of this earth. However, the days of Purim are never bottled. Because the suffering of the period of Egypt, the suffering of the period of the Mashiach, and being under the heel of the nations of the world, far worse than Tzaras Mitzrayim. No question about it. Can't even compare. compare Shoah to Mitzrayim? There's no comparison. No comparison. What we've been through in the last few hundred years of history or more is far, far worse than what happened. The Shurat Adin, and therefore the correct thing is Sheyeh Zichron Ha'atzola Mehem Kabir Mi Zichron Yitzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, if the suffering of the Jewish people now is worse than it was in Egypt, then our salvation from that should be a greater source of praise to God than our coming out of Egypt. Avu Dvar Purim Lo. Purim still remains greater than them all. Why? Mipnei Shelo Yiyeod. Now, I'm going to be learning my own pshat over here, because we happen to be living 400 years after Rabbi Shlomo Alkovitz. Because he says there that something like Purim, where all of Israel were under threat of destruction, that will never be again. Wait. It happened during the Second World War, and we happen to be right now the Jewish people are under threat from global jihad. The fact is, there's no Jew who is not affected by what's going on in the world today. It's a real thing. The Muslim world wants to take over the world. And the great Satan, Jewish people, we are all under awesome, frightening threat. So he says, that there was nothing like Purim. What am I going to be saying? I'll tell you the whole shiur in a sentence. Purim is going to be the model. It's going to be the blueprint of history today. The blueprint, the model of Yemot HaMashiach is Purim. There aren't going to be awesome miracles where the sky opens up and God rains down destruction on Iran. Unless, of course, you're able to see Israeli planes flying over Iran and destroying their nuclear facilities as the messengers of God. The Rebbein Shalom is working in history. What was all Megillat Esther? God doesn't appear at all. You can read the Megillah from beginning to end, and it's a fascinating story. A little bit, you know, it sounds a little bit a little bit fairy tale like, you know, once upon a time there was a good guy, there was a bad guy. God is not mentioned. But what's the greatness of the Jewish people? God is in concealment. But boy, is he there. He is the mover and the shaker. There's no question about it. And he has everything worked out so perfectly. You know, you even have to know a little bit more about the Megillah. You know, for example, the Achashverosh's party at which Vashti finds her death is in the third year of his reign. Esther becomes king in the seventh year of his reign. And in that seventh year of his reign, so we have Esther, who becomes queen, and we have the attempted assassination of Achashverosh by Bigsel Seresh. You know, I think I should ask Achashverosh, what did you think about the assassination? What did you think about the assassination? Okay? Here we have the assassination attempt, and it's a little forgotten incident, and you understand it's written in the books of the king, and it's forgotten, it's gone. Little do we know, 5 years later, in the 12th year, everybody forgot about it all. We're all used to the idea that the queen is Esther, and this queen Esther is suffering every day. This is a tie of a Yiddish Meidler, and she has to be married to this hilarious Sayyid Yisrael. Yes?
I think the Mossad in the airport naming their operations Mordechai and Esther. Maybe it'll push it
over. Who knows? Well, I know they have.
Hopefully they're in there already.
Yeah. Well, what's the name they gave to Obama's visit here? I forgot. They gave it some cute name. I don't know. All right, I can't remember. All right. Anyway, the important thing is, in Megillat Esther, you know, you got to have your wits about you. 5 years later, everybody's forgotten everything. We forget things a week later. 5 years later, someplace hidden over there in the archives of Ahasuerus, there's some little story about this fellow Ahasuerus who aborted a plot to assassinate the king.
Mordechai.
What did I say? I always say I need you people. It's the movie that's making me confused. You understand? Yeah. Megillat Esther is that tells us what we're living through right now. It's unbelievable. I keep saying it from time to time. Every day there's something else. Every day there's something else. Yesterday there was a big editorial in the Jerusalem Post. What would I do for Shiurim if I wouldn't have Chumash and the Jerusalem Post? I'd be I'd have to go to more movies. The second most highly educated country in the world is Israel. The only thing that I don't understand is the first. First is Canada. They're a bunch of... Should I tell you something? I'll never get out of here. I reminded myself just a few days ago, something came flying back into my head from the summer of 1959. I'm going to say it quickly because it's worth saying it. I was in the process then of building Yeshiva Sner Yisrael of Toronto. I had come, Rosh Yeshivat sent me alone, 59. Here's this Yeshiva Baruch running around Toronto, and it was not the Toronto of today. This was the first yeshiva to be built in Toronto. Was not... Okay. During the summer, I decided, you know, we're going to be opening up a high school. I want to see what the textbooks look like. So I got to a bunch of textbooks. I started going through them. I come to a grade 9 or grade 10 world history textbook. And I thought, oh, world history? Let's go see what do they have to say about the establishment of the State of Israel. I know a little bit about that, you know. Yeah. They're going to tell me about all sorts of stuff all over the rest of the world. I know a little bit. I know a little more or less. I come to the story of the Milchemet HaAtzmaut. And it becomes... I start... burning. And I didn't realize the significance of it at the time. They describe how angry the Arab world was at the fact that Israeli forces, who were equipped by world Jewry with the latest of weaponry, and world Jewry is supplying them. And poor seven Arab nations, you understand. What a... I didn't know that revisionism of history took place already in 1959. But what am I going to do with these guys? I still can't start up with them. And then, you know, the Ganef, you catch them. Then they come, they say, what upset the Arabs more than anything else is that Israel captured the old city of Jerusalem and held it. But wait, 1959. Okay, I had been here 55, 56, you understand. There was a big gray concrete wall with barbed wire above it. We couldn't get in there. It was taken by the Arabs, not by us. It's an absolute lie. And we're living in 59. Just take a look. Who's holding it right now? So I penned off an angry letter. I penned off an angry letter with, of course, a veiled threat that if something is not done about this, I'm going to the press. By the way, I should have. The only thing is, here is, I'm a new fella. I'm 24 years old. I'm making all sorts of contacts with the Board of Education. I'm going to start becoming a Greiser Crusader, you understand? I may not get recognition for the school. I don't know what kind of trouble I can get into. So Gold remained, you know, humble. But I penned off quite a letter. And then the stupidity of the reply. The reply was, the publisher says that he sat down with the author and they read through the newspapers of the time. We need the newspapers of the time. Look now. Who's there now? In July of 59, for heaven's sake. Then they say that they're going to rewrite the text, and before the school year opens, there will be a completely revised version of the text. Didn't occur to me that in Canada, the greater educated Canadians, understand, the more educated than us, yeah, on that kind of shkogim, that's what they're educated on, that they were already anti-Semitic revisionists then. By the way, Canada's always been, only up until the last few years, Canada was always anti-Israel and anti-Semites. But during the Second World War, there was a request to allow 20,000 children from Europe into Canada. And what was the ugly answer for all time? None is too many. None is too many. That was Canada. I forgot about this whole incident. They were already rewriting history, not only rewriting, Sheker Gomer, complete Sheker. I gotta take some medicine for this. I'm getting upset. Now, the most important, here comes the theme of this year. All right? Go to number 5. And you should know, I think I was in a Purim mood while I was putting together the sources over here. There are 3 pages of sources. 3-4 of the sources are versions of the same, but with slight differences. Watch this. The Bchir, this is a famous Gemara. You got to know this Gemara. The Bchir Rabbi, the great Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Hayu Mahalchen Pahada Bikat Arbel Bikmitzata. They were walking through the valley of Arbel toward morning. Morning was beginning to break through the Arbel. The Arbel is a mountain that overlooks the northern part of the Kinneret. It's just to the west of the Kinneret. A few years we lived in Migdal. One of our porches, we just looked at the Arbel all day. Looked at the Arbel all day. I used to tell my wife, you're my Baal, and that's our Baal. Understand? We had the Arbel over there. Beautiful mountain. And here it says that these two, Reb Chiya, the great Reb Chiya, and Reb Shimon Chalafta, were walking through the valley of Arbel. The Ro Ayelet Hashachar Shebokha Orach. They saw the first light of dawn as it begins to break through. Omer Abchi Rabbe. This is the Yisod of our, the foundation stone of our, the whole period in history in which we live. Amr Reb Chiya Chabal Reb Shimon Ben Chalafta, the great Reb Chiya said to Reb Shimon Ben Chalafta, B'Rebbe, my Rebbe, Kach Hi Gul Atam She Yisrael, so shall be the redemption of Israel. B'Tchila, at first, Kima, Kima, little by little. It's not going to happen all in one single instant of time. All of a sudden, the heavens open, Mashiach comes down, and there's a great revolution of the whole world. No. The redemption of Israel comes, kima, kima. Kol mashi hi holechet, hi rabba v'holechet. As time passes, it becomes greater, it becomes more apparent, it becomes more powerful. Kach, where do we learn it from? What's the model for Geulat Yisrael? What's the model for our period right now in history? The model is Megillat Esther. B'tchila, at first it says, Mordechai Yoshei B'Shar HaMelech, Mordechai sits in the gate of the king. And afterwards, you know what happens? Oh, it says, Vayikach Haman et halavush v'et hasus. Haman took the clothes of the king, the royal garments on the horse, and he takes this Mordechai who had been sitting in the gate, and he takes him through the streets of Shushan, announcing, so shall be done for the man whom the king wishes to honor. What happens afterwards? By Yosef Mordechai al Shar HaMelech, Mordechai returned. And then you know what happens at the end? Mordechai Yotzom Milfnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus. This Mordechai who was sitting in the gate of the king is now walking out cloaked in royal raiments. Haman is dead. Mordechai has been elevated to greatness. And what comes after that? La Yehudim Hoysa Oro V'Simcha V'Sosom V'Yikor. What does the Megillah tell us? The Megillah is really taking us from darkness to light, from grave danger, taking us to salvation. But it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But you know what? There are a number of things that are interesting about it. What's interesting about it is, as it begins to reach a crescendo, as the process of Geula begins to go into high gear, things happen swiftly, one after another. Haman makes the tree, comes to the king in the middle of the night. King tells him, take him out. Second party, Haman hung. All happen within a period of 24 hours. But until you get to that, it can be a long, long time. Did anybody have a clue? You know, when Jews started coming, I don't know, when the Vilna Goin sent his Talmidim in the 18th century, the Baal Shem Tov sent his Talmidim also in the 18th century. I think it's about the only thing that Chassidim and Misnagdim agreed upon, that they wanted their Talmidim to go to Eretz Yisrael and begin to lay the foundations of a Jewish community here. And you know what they succeeded in doing? They succeeded in turning Yerushalayim into a city of a majority of Jews yet in the early 19th century already. And then, well, toward the end of the 19th century, we have the Jews who are coming here to colonize the land. You know, all of these things. Well, we had no way of knowing then that all of this is in order to prepare the way for a Jewish people, that the Rebbe wants to bring them back here from all corners of the world. It was an awesome process that took place. And the model for the process is Megillat Esther. Is one little problem with the process over here. After Haman takes Mordechai through the streets, so the Medrash says, "Vayoshev Mordechai el Shar HaMelech." Mordechai went back to the gate of the king. Is that part of the process of salvation? No, it's not. Mordechai is going back to what he was before. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. You know what the Medrash is telling us? The graph of Geula is not always straight upward. There will be reversals. There will be backsliding. There will be problems. And then, as we overcome the problem, we move ahead again. Yes?
There is also the last pasuk of the Megillah, which says that things with Ahasuerus were the way they were before. With their taxes and everything. In other words, things have not changed.
He doesn't affect us at all. Achashverosh is nothing. Achashverosh is already, he's been beaten down, but bad. The one who, he really was one of those who planned the destruction of the Jewish people. He's the only one that survived. But no, not worried about Achashverosh. The issue is that the Megillah presents us a progression of how things go. Now, you know what's interesting? There are going to be a number of other midrashim. And the other midrashim take other places in Tanakh where you have a progression. Things are... In chapter 35 in Yeshayahu, Yisusum midbar v'tziyah v'tagel arava tifrach kachavatzelet. I only know it because it was a song. Yisusum, Yisusum midbar v'tziyah v'tagel v'tagel tagel arava v'tifrach v'tifrach kachavatzelet. In that pasuk, we begin with desert, arid, dry, joy, and then something grows there, and not only something grows, there's already a sense of joy, and then flowers come out of the ground. The whole pasuk is a progression from zero to a great burst of color. And there the Medrash says, "Kach hi gulatan she Yisrael, so is the redemption of Israel." Kima, kima, bit by bit. As time goes, it grows. It becomes stronger. Right? I'll finish. Yes? Let's turn over to the second side. The third page really was something that I added only for extra credit, but we don't. So here. In number six is a Medrash in Mishlei. And the pasuk there is talking about somebody who's preparing a feast. Tovcha tivcha, she's shechted the meat. Moscha, she's poured the wine. So the tovcha tivcha, let's read it. Zu esra malka. So the Shoshi Higia Tsar Yisrael at the time that Israel suffered hit kino sudolach Ashverosh Ulahaman Hagasha. You know what she did? She prepared a suda for Ahashverosh on Haman Hagasha. Vishikroso Yayin Biyotel, she got them all drunk with wine. Ukasova Haya, Haman Baatzmo, Haman thought, Shechokalo covered. Haman is sitting there and thinks, hey, take a look how much covet he's getting for the queen. And what he doesn't understand is that she's plotting and planning to bring him down. And she said, V'hulo yoda, he didn't know she, parsa hilo mitzuda, she's spreading out a trap for him. Shemitoksha shikro tayayin, because she got him drunk with wine. Kontzolo umasolo olam. You know what she acquired? She acquired her nation, her people, for all time. Ach orcho shulchona. The pasuk goes on to say she set the table. Now remember, tovcho tivcho, she prepared the meat. She poured the wine. Then she set the table. Ba'olam azeu, ba'olam abo. This world and the world to come. What did she acquire, this Esther? The great name that she acquired. Listen to what this Medrash says. Shekol ha-moadim atidin lihibatel. The Rambam talked about the Kisvei HaKodesh, the holy writings. The Medrash talks about all the Yom Tov Masidim lebatel v'yimei ha-purim einem betelim la'olam. Purim remains eternal. Amar Rav Elazar, wow. Af Yom HaKippurim lo yibatel la'olam. Also Yom Kippur will never be removed. And remember, we know already what the word batel means. It will be of great significance. We're still going to eat matzah on Pesach and go away to hotels. We're still going to have a shavuos, and we're going to have a sukkah and sukkahs. From this medrash, you can understand Af Yom HaKippurim, even Yom Kippur, because Yom HaKippurim is, as the Mefarshim say, a day Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. just as Purim remains forever, so Yom Kippur. I'm Rav Loza, Af Yom Kippur, and Levod, Levi Shenana, because it says, Voices us, come to Chuk HaZom. Okay. The next medrash in Micha, I just have to learn that. All the rest of the medrashim are medrashim that continue to emphasize the fact that Geulas Yisrael comes kima, bit by bit. The significance of this is the great battle that has raged for 100 years, represented in our generation over the last 50 years, represented by Satmar. Satmar was opposed and is still opposed to the establishment of the State of Israel. You know, I don't understand. We keep going, and he's opposed. But all right, Satmar is opposed. Because Satmar held there's no such thing. Man has no right. We don't have the right to come here. We don't have the right to set up a state on our own. If we do it, then it's an act of rebellion against the kingdom of heaven. Everything is going to come from heaven in one single instant of time. The coming of the Mashiach is going to be revolutionary, not evolutionary. All the medrashim that we are learning is saying, no. Yemot HaMashiach will be part of an evolutionary process. All you have to do is have the brains to be able to see it. Just like you have to have the brains to see God within the folds of Megillat Esther, that he's the one that's running everything over there. That's the great challenge today. And me, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see so many people get the Yidden that can only speak ill of the state and everything that's happening here. They don't get it. They don't get what's going on over here. The strength, the power, the might, the growth of Eretz Yisrael is absolutely part of an awesome, grand, majestic process that they did. For heaven's sake, they can't see it. It hurts me. Forever, the Rebbein Shem is pouring out kindness to you. Don't you see it? You know, you need a schus. You have to know what Purim is all about and what the Megillah is all about in order to understand the process through which we're living. I'm just going to take you, one more minute, I'm going to take you through that last medrash, because the last medrash is also of significance to understand our situation. It's a pasuk in Micha. Al tismechi o yavti li ki nafalti kamti. Don't be so happy, enemy of mine. Number 7. Don't be so happy. Ki nafalti, I fell. You know what, I fell. But kamti, I got up too. Shonu rabotenu. Our rabbis learned. Mitoch kas. From a period of anger, we go into a period of ratzon, where God is pouring out his goodness to them. Mitoch roges, from a period of wrath. You know where we find ourselves? We move from wrath to rachamim, God's mercy. Mitoch tzora, from the very midst of the tzora. You know what happens from the tzora? Revocha. Oh, God, things get better. Shenema, eis tzora hi liyakov pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Eis tzora hi liyakov is the time of tzora to Yaakov. Umi meno yivashea. From the tzora itself is going to come the great salvation. Mitoch richuk. While we are in a process of being distant from God, kiruv, we come close. Mitoch nefila, from our very fall. Shoah, kima, there we rise. We move from one to the next. One to the next. Mitoch hafela, from darkness, Odo, we come to light. Mitoch kas, that's on and now. He's gonna bring psukim to show how each one of these happened, and this is the story of our period in history. Modern Jewish history is precisely this medrash. Mitoch kas ratzon. Okay, we're gonna have to go through all of the psukim, but the important thing is, yes, all of these things, and now it's all different. and we have to be able to appreciate. And we have to understand, therefore, that Purim is not just a frivolous yontif. If we want to understand the times in which we live, we have to study the Megillah very, very carefully. And I have a feeling that's indeed why we say that wherever it says HaMelech in the Megillah, the king, without saying Achashverosh, HaMelech means there's another king. There's another king operating over here. It's God Almighty himself. He is operating throughout. And the ability to see that he's operating throughout is the greatness of the Jewish people. And this is the way God, he is in concealment now. But you know what? I think that what he's done over here is so awesome, he's not so much in concealment anymore. We are the most unusual people on the face of this earth. How do you like that? Chag Purim Sameach. I'm going to miss you. I just wish me and my wife should be gesund and I should be able to finish all my work. Okay.